you're listening to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Angel and Walter LeRae. Real talk, real people, sincere conversations. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your host, Angel and Walter LeRae. I am the poet, Walter LeRae, and he is my co-host.
Angel.
Welcome to the mic once again, brother. How are you doing?
Man, you know, I'm getting better, dude. You know, it's still tough processing, you know, the loss. But, you know, we're trying to get things back in perspective and, you know, just making sure that we appreciate those blessings and everything that we take for granted every day. So, you know, I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, man, I'm still shook, but, you know, this part of life, man. Like, you just got to keep grinding, you know.
Yes, sir.
You never stop, never give up, you know, and we'll get there eventually. Are we there yet?
Yes, sir. No, it's a progress, man. A process.
Process. I
mean, yeah.
Well, and the process
makes
well.
Progress.
Amen. There you go. Yes, sir. Hey man, so what's on the agenda today? What can we talk about? Let's chop it up.
Well, you know what? An interesting concept. Let's discuss communication factors in relationships between men and women. You know, just basically feeling, you know, like, man, what really is it between men and women where the breakdown of communication starts? Because it feels like, you know, just like some of the people that come to us for advice, or whether it's just, you know, personal things we experience in relationships, like, where do you think the breakdown in communication between men and women factor from?
Are you talking about black unicorns now, huh?
No, bro. These are like diamond unicorns, like rarer.
A black unicorn is probably the most rarest thing in mythology, but I don't know.
Man,
Andrew,
we talking about platinum.
Oh, platinum. Okay. Well, hey, be so black you shine. Okay,
that's there you go.
There we go. All right. Wow, man, that's deep, man. That's, I don't think we have enough time for this show. Is this going to be a series that we're working on?
Yeah, this is actually going to be a series, and let's start this part of it off, and let me give you a little more to kind of digest. Let's go with like the double standards. A lot of times, you know, we I think we're pretty fair at acknowledging that there are double standards towards women, but I also think that in order to be at a higher level and to promote better growth, we also need to be realistic that there are some double standards that get swept under the rug that, you know, inhibit men. For a prime example, I want you to kind of break this down and let's get into this. When it comes to relationships, someone, you know, there's a very popular meme that a man can leave a relationship that he's been in for 8 years and then meet someone and get married within a couple of months and do everything that he wouldn't do for you in that 8 years. And saying that, you know, when you're nagging a man to do this, do whatever, he'll change for the one that he loves and you're not that one. And we want to talk about that a little bit. But what more so sparked my curiosity is some of the responses from that meme on social media. And a lot of women was like, you have to shape a man into who he needs to be so he can reach his potential. And so there was a lot of back and forth about women with the concept of shaping men and changing men, basically treating men like they're a project. Like, you know, you have to groom, cut, snip, and a lot of them call it mothering. Some people refer to it as mothering. And some called it, you know, sculpting. It's a lot of terms that they use for it. But then, you know, I wanted to be the advocate. I was like, well, if a man tries to change a woman, that's considered controlling. So what is the difference? And oh my God, you thought I would have dropped the match at a gas station. It blew up. Like, it was just crazy. But then I started to, you know, I walked away from the conversation because number one, I'm not about to go back and forth and give that much energy to anything, especially when it's just aggression and not a natural instinct to learn and grow. I'm not going to give all that energy to an argument, but I did walk away from it thinking like, wow, that is amazing. Because in relationships, we've even heard it growing up, you know, from women that we know. We've heard it throughout our lives about how women are, you know, destined to kind of change men and groom men to be the husband and father that the woman wants him to be. But I ask you, what's the difference between a man trying to change things that he doesn't like in a woman? Because it seems like when it comes from a man directed towards a woman, it's considered to be abuse or controlling. Or manipulative. Yeah.
Well, that's the biggest thing that you get is the controlling factor. If a man is doing what you just explained about what women do. And first and foremost, a woman cannot raise a man, nor is she trimming, molding a man to be who he is or who they want. Now, this is the caveat. She can mold him into being what she wants, but that doesn't make him a good man. That makes him a good science project for her.
There we go. Because what makes you think that your version of who you think I should be is the best version of myself I can be?
Well, it's a tolerable situation. Let me tell you something, man. You're a man. I'm a man. Within us, in our DNA, we have to decide what type of man that we're going to be when we get to that level. And right. A woman is just a part of that transformation. She's not the ultimate. She's not the reason why I transform, you know, and because the reason why I transform is because of God. It's not because of her. She's an imperfect vessel, just like I am an imperfect vessel. There's no way that two imperfections is going to make perfection.
That's, and I'm glad you put it that way, because it's hard not to walk away from that, to see that if you have the concept that you can put me or mold me to perfection, then that kind of exudes the theory you are a perfection.
She's not, nor am I. So I'm not going to come to you be like, I have all the answers. You know, I got the keys. No, I don't.
But from a societal point of view perspective, why do you think that it is acceptable coming from a woman to a man, but it's considered abusive or manipulative if it was coming from a man to a woman?
Well, it's something that's embedded in their DNA. And if, you know, it's something that they didn't want from Adam and Eve, you know, Adam knew better. If you read the Bible, and it's been rewritten or whatever else, but he walked through the Garden of Eden by himself with God before Eve was even in the picture. The second that Eve was in the picture, when the serpent went to her to just make that discord between them, it's because that's what she wanted. But Adam knew better. Right. And when you saw what happened when Adam followed after Eve, because he knew better. And that's not saying that it's Eve's fault. No, it's Adam's fault.
No,
it's Adam's fault, because Adam knew better ahead of time. So regardless of what Eve wanted, it was up to Adam to say, no, babe, we can't do this.
Yeah. And I feel what you're saying, but I would have to say it's both of their faults, because correct me if I'm wrong. Did God not tell both of them not to eat from the tree?
Right.
Or did he just tell Adam?
But like I said before, the bond that Adam had with God before Eve was the reason that God wanted Adam to have Eve. And you got to understand where I'm coming from on that level, is that it's not good for man to be alone. So let me make him a mate. And so forth, you know. But however, I understand 100%, Angel. It is, yo, the ownership of our transgressions has to be on us. We have got to take that ownership, because that's the only way that you can grow.
And that right there, that premises that you just outlined, and that point, we have to take accountability. That I see as one of the foundations of where communication breaks down the most in relationships. Because it feels like, you know, beyond the double standards, it also feels like whenever there's an issue in a relationship, it's about pointing out what the other person is not doing versus you being better or trying to make yourself better. And I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand societal's views on how you try to uphold things in such a way of integrity, but then you just, with a simple flip of a switch, all of a sudden the same thing that you're trying to uphold with integrity is demonized on this end. Like, I don't understand why and how that's even feasible, because that is the basis of hypocrisy. You know, there's a lot of things that take place within relationships between men and women. Both women do not have it harder than men. Men do not have it harder than women. Men and women both have challenges that they must go through, especially when it comes to loving another person. And loving another person can bring you outside of yourself to where you can grow and be better. You can understand that not being selfish is a transition of you becoming a better person. But a woman does not necessarily make a man a better person. A woman can't make a man. You cannot make a man into a man. Just like a man cannot make a woman into a woman.
No. And what they grow into their perspective rights of who they should be. And when they come together with their union, then they grow as a family, because that's when, you know, you become as one.
Right.
But like I said previously, it's imperfections. An imperfect being, an imperfect vessel cannot make a perfect vessel. We as men and women are babies. The vessel coming from a woman who is imperfect, she gives birth to us. We're born into sin. So we're already imperfection. So we have got to work our way up to be a righteous person. So therefore, the love that we have for one another molds us into being better for each other, because I have this love for you that I want to please you. But that pleasing comes from your understanding of your being under the authority of God and understanding and pleasing him, you know, before I please myself. And that's a work in progress.
Oh, I'm going to be a little mischievous now. I'm about to run the advocate game on you. So you made some pretty good solid points right there about the willingness to please. And I feel you, but how does that, what happens when that willingness to please gets misconstrued, and then it becomes a process of servitude?
Okay, you know, I absolutely hate servitude, and I think that's the reason why we are dealing with what we're dealing with right now, because more women are taking the point that, you know, serve me. That's the worst position that anybody, man or woman, can be in. Even in my dogs, I feel like they're with their attitudes. They have this, okay, feed me right now. I feed you when I want to feed you. But when it comes to dealing with people, we cannot take the servitude route, like I am royal type situation, because we're dealing with people. So when a woman does that, or a man, what you're saying, in fact, that everybody else is beneath you. Now, how am I going to be beneath you when we're supposed to be equal into this relationship? That's why I say you cannot mold me. You cannot create me. And only look, the only pruner in this world is the master pruner, and that is God. God removes from you what is not of him. And when he does that thing, that's the most times, or that's the time that most people, I should say, try to hold on to the nonsense and not allow the transformation to be what it is. And first and foremost, if she understands that her place is with you and your place is with her, there's no leader, there's no follower. There is a joint effort. But with that said, someone has to lead and someone has to follow. I know when to follow my wife. I know when to lead my wife. It is ebbs and flow in a relationship. And it's understanding that you don't have all the answers, and be willing to swallow your pride and ask that person who is next to you, hey, do you know how to do this?
Well, okay. When you hear the phrase happy wife, happy life, what does that resonate with you? Well, how does that resonate with you?
Well, I used to say it a lot. because it was just something that you adapted to and you hearing, but you know, you kind of shook that up for me and you said happy house. Wait a minute. What did you say?
Happy spouse, happy house.
And I think that's the way that it should be because it's inclusive of both spouses. Mm-hmm. And not just determining on if the wife is happy. You know, it's the old stigma. Yes, dear.
Right.
Whatever you say, dear. You know, but that's the mental or that's the BS that they're trying to hypnotize you with. And, you know, even in life and media, whatever mm-hmm. you do, that the wife has to be happy or the house is not. No. My life is, first of all, I hate naggers. I hate a person. I hate especially women, a nagging person.
Oh, okay.
Not what you thought I said. I didn't say that.
I know. I'm just giving.
But that was funny. That was funny, right?
Right.
I hate them naggers. Oh, did you say that word? No, I did not say it, Angel. But thank you for the comedic.
Gotta laugh, bro.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. We'll talk later. But you know, it's like me, dude. It's like a nagging man is not sexy at all, right? No, so women say that all the time. I can't stand a man who's nagging. But then, why are you nagging?
I think nagging is a very off-putting characteristic.
Yeah, especially in a man.
Anybody's personality.
Right. And if a man can't, you know, there's certain things that men can, we can't do what women do. We mm-hmm. can't go, that tongue cannot go wagging. You can't, you cannot just keep complaining, you know, and I'm using the words very, you know, precise so I don't curse about it because I really think about our listeners. Mm-hmm. But it's something that you constantly fussing, you constantly, you know, you know, if a man does that, the first thing that comes out of a woman's mouth is you're acting like a bleep. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get that. But is that not part of the narrative that creates the double standard? Why is it that a man's acting like a less than a man? Mm-hmm. But then that in itself underlines the premises that it's okay or is characteristic of a woman to nag.
Well, of course, because it's the double standards because it's a woman. Mm-hmm. It's what society is allowing to be or putting them into these boxes or these categories and saying this is what you are. And in fact, it's not. It is the agent of chaos, as you always say, that promotes mm-hmm. the devastation because it's about promoting discord.
Right. Well, you know what? I moved away from that whole happy wife, happy life, you know, theory, because, you know, I was part of a toxic relationship at one point to an extent where I was battling with serious depression. And when I say serious depression, I'm not embarrassed to share that with, you know, with you or the family or the listeners, because I really do think men in general, and I think that people in our culture, both men and women, need to do a better job as far as dealing with mental health issues and combating those things and not allowing it to get through. Because for some reason, you know, we go so long carrying something that is weighing us down when there's different methods of dealing with those things where it doesn't have to result in the ultimate, you know, darkness, which, you know, taking the life. The thing is that what motivates people is not always the same. And one thing that I had to understand is that my happiness matters too. I can't become a slave of trying to make someone happy because the realistic reality of it all is I am incapable of making a person happy. That is not a measurement or determination of the extent of my manhood. Period. I am not capable of making a miserable person that wants to be miserable will remain miserable and they will find a way to turn rain and sunshine into a curse. No matter what you do, mm-hmm. It does not matter. You can do everything within your power to protect, provide, present a negative person who is not wanting to be happy will always find a reason to complain about something or find something wrong with it. You know, positive people look for solutions. Unhappy people search for problems. And that's just a fact.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the biggest facts. But, you know, we all go through it. Life is here. You know, the things in life, it tends to beat people down.
It does.
And if you don't have any outlet or avenue to speak on certain things, it's going to be something that drives you damn near insane if you're not careful. Let's be honest,
dude. There's no blueprint to this. There's no instruction manual. You know, there's no, you know, guideline as far as, you know, what path is right for me. You know, going to school, going to college, getting the job, working your way up the ladder. You know, there's a lot that goes along in that progress, and there's pressures, constant pressure. And one thing about success, especially when you're in the corporate world, the higher you climb up that ladder, it does not become easier. There's another level of stress. There's another level of anxiety that you have to deal with. And when you have to go home to, you know, that energy, and that energy is not right, and then you're going back to work and you got to deal with all that energy that's there. And that's crazy because there's no outlet. And there's a lot of people that are walking around with a smile on their face, but I'm often reminded of the song Tears of a Clown. Like, a clown is meant to be a symbol of happiness and laughter. But man, what happens when that clown is sad? What happens when that mystique is only a disguise? It's only a facade.
Well, who's going to cheer up the clown?
Exactly. Right. And it's like, and all you're told is the man is supposed to do this, and the man is supposed, and you're not a man if you don't, and this, the man is in, and it's like, you know, as asinine as all of that is, when you're going through these battles, those things start to become stones that you trip up on, even when you know better. Because when you get a promotion, man, and you climbing up that ladder, let's say you go from supervisor to manager. As a supervisor, you may supervise, you know, 5 to 10 people. But now as a manager, you're responsible for now 24 people.
Right.
So your responsibility, your workload doubles. Everybody looks at your paycheck. Oh, you making nice money. But man, trust me, the things that they want you to do does not equate what comes in that paycheck.
Well, and that's why home has to be, you know, home has to be that, you know, sacred grounds, you know,
that
spouse has to, you know, alleviate a lot of that stress because of what you're dealing with and so forth. But, you know, like I said before, it's a servitude situation. If people feel like that they suppose, what about me now after you have dealt with a monster beast at work and then you have to come home and deal with the life and the tribulations of home. It creates a cycle of nonsense that you are in a spiral, a downward spiral to another dimension. And it almost seems like, and this is why men hold their words in. This is why we hold our emotions in. And you always see women, he doesn't open up. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Well, he cannot open up because the very second that he does, it's usually about telling you about yourself. And now when he does tell you about yourself, all of a sudden he's complaining, but he's trying to tell you
everything that he says in that moment is going to be used against him.
Of course it's going to be used against you. That's why I don't open up. Hey, I've been through, my first marriage, it ended in a divorce. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the reason it was the first marriage. But however, I went through that state of depression, especially when she told me, don't bring nothing to me, not even Jesus. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I thought about it. And I'm like, okay. And then I didn't really know that I was in a state of depression until my friend told me that I was depressed.
Right.
You know,
because you're so desensitized to it, you don't realize it. Like you don't realize how close to the edge you're teeter tottering on it.
Right. Because
you don't realize it
because life is still there. I'm still doing, you know, the things to keep me above water. You know what
you're
I mean?
You're going through the motions.
I'm going through the motions of it and I'm living and I'm doing this. I'm having to bounce back because, you know, a divorce and, You know, I couldn't understand it. Said nothing is amicable. You know, nothing is done in a way that is going to help both parties. It's usually done in a way that the woman feels like she's going to get what she can get, and she's going to bail, and she's going to do what she does. And that's why I tell every man, I'm like, hey, make sure you have your rainy day situation for that rainy day. Mm-hmm. That is definitely for you, because at the end of the day, if it's not a joint situation where, you know, hey, I don't have any malice towards you, you don't have any malice towards me, we can go our separate ways because this thing did not work. Mm-hmm. Usually somebody is going to be left out. And I had to rebuild. Right. And rebuilding in that situation, it numbs you. It numbs right. you to the point that you may be depressed. You mm-hmm. may be, I was more pissed off than anything, but I guess that was part of the depression. You may be angry. You may be dealing with it, but I'm burying myself in my work because I have to get above water. I have to stay afloat. And that's something that most people don't understand. And I'm working long hours doing this. And then somebody finally said, hey man, you're depressed. Mm. And I'm like,
and when someone said that to you, like, well, what was your initial reaction?
Like, what are you talking about? I'm depressed. I mean, like I'm handling this, you know, and you know, but I'm doing me. So my initial reaction was shut the front door. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I'm
as a man, like, did you feel that not me, like there's no way, or did you feel like shame, or did you feel, you know, like a sense of like it was a tug at your pride, or did you feel that could I be?
Yeah, I not really. My initial reaction was like, man, whatever, miss me with that. You know what I mean? I'm mm-hmm. handling my business because I feel like I didn't have time for it. You right. know what I mean? You know how it is, man. You're trying to rebuild. You're trying to get back on your feet. And people yeah. like to kick you when you're down, bro. So, you know, a lot of that is like, yeah, I may be depressed. You know, but that didn't happen to me until actually I went back to my little cubby hole of what I call my little, you know, apartment, and, you know, and then you look around and it's like, man, I used to have this, I used to have that. And I that's where the materialistic things in life with me, I'm like, whatever, like nothing yeah. materialistic matters to me. Like I don't hold right. value in materialistic things. That's why I don't go out there and buy fancy cars. That's why I don't do, mm-hmm. I literally live my life like a bum. Like I'm so L7. It's funny, dude, because I'm not a flashy type person, because I realized that, you know, and this is another show that I want to bring up as well. The flashiness is nothing that it, you know, I'm not trying to attract anyone to me, because mm-hmm. I'm not trying to impress none of you. I can give a flip less about, I'm really that dude. Angel, you know, I don't care about that. If I don't care about you, I really don't care about you. But well, I mean, back to that,
there's no mystery behind it.
Right. Like, back to that point of being depressed, man. It was what I think what happened was that the fact that somebody saw that in me that I didn't see in myself. I knew that I was upset and I was mm-hmm. furious, but I didn't even show that. You know what right. I mean? I was hurt and I was mad at myself for being hurt because I really loved that woman.
Right.
You know,
well, where do you think that the breakdown of the communication started before because when you divorced, man, it started a long, long time ago.
Well, it was a servitude, you know, as mm-hmm. long as I was doing everything that she wanted for her and for her family and for what she did. Right. And, you know, it was all good. Oh, you don't want to work. You don't want to work full time. Okay, go part time, because I was making enough to support both of us and then some and more.
Right.
But
right.
what I
remember that time.
Yeah. So at that time I was like, yo, you don't want to do this? Hey, that's fine. You know, cause here I am, happy wife. You understand that whole stigma, right?
Yeah.
Happy wife. I'm doing air quotes, people. Happy wife, happy life. Idiot. Right. Wrong.
And then
wrong.
Wasn't there a impulse to get into real estate, and you paid for the whole course?
Oh man, I paid for her to go into real estate. I paid for, you know, whatever she wanted, I paid for. And I didn't have a problem with that, because you got to understand, dude, like that's what I wanted. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's what I wanted. And then the funny thing about it is that the person who told me that I was depressed was my wife now. That's funny thing about it, because me and my wife now, we were just friends. And I was dealing with all of that, you know. And when I say that I dealt with it, try putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. The Band-Aid was, after the divorce, I dated another woman who was no good, it was never any good for me. That was the Band-Aid on a gaping wound. I never allowed myself to heal properly.
Right.
So it allowed me to put up with a stupid woman, and to the point that I had my best friend, which is my wife, was like, "Hey, you're depressed." And I'm like, "Man, whatever." And then when I got back, it took a minute or two for it to sit in. But when it set in, Angel, I was like, "I think I am depressed." You know, I think I am. I think I'm dealing with something that, you know, it manifested differently in me. The hurt made me, it provided the anger. And it took a point to when I said, "God, okay, hey, I don't want this. I don't want to hate this person, because I really don't care." Hey, she didn't want me to bring anything to her. She wanted to divorce. She divorced me. Fine. So okay, moving on.
Well, before it got to the divorce part of it, like, what was the communication like? Like, how did she speak to you? When you say things like, as long as she got what she wanted or it was her way, like, what did that look like actually? Like, you kind of outlined a little bit of it where, okay, well, she was full-time, didn't want to work full-time, so she went part-time.
Right.
Then she quit that job because now she wanted to do real estate. You paid for that. But what was the communication factor like? Was there gratitude? Was there criticism? Like, what did the communication look like?
Well, the communication at that point in time, as long as she was getting what she wanted, it was all good. But when I said no, like I said, man, the writing is always on the wall. It's just you choose not to see it.
Right.
When I told her no, it was always conflict. It was always, you know, well, you should do this, or this is what I want, and so forth. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because even when, you know, and what happened, you know, I got caught up in a house fire and so forth in the position that I was holding as vice president. They let me go at that company.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had rainy day funds, but this is when the no started. Yeah. See, the no started when I'm like, "Hey, I'm not touching this. You need to do this." And the attitude was coming more rampant. And the things where I needed my spouse to be like, and I'm dealing with injuries, and I'm trying to bounce back in recovery, but you're still wanting to go on vacation.
Right. And that was the thing that used to bug me, but it was your relationship. I really didn't have a place to say anything, but I saw how hard you worked.
You always got a place.
Well yeah, but that comes with respect too. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not my relationship. It's not my marriage.
Right. But
I can have an opinion about it, but, you know, it's not really my point of view to interject, you know, because if it's okay with you, then I have to sit on it. No, but I really didn't like the whole concept of you sending her on vacation when you had to work.
Right.
That you was that selfless to a point that you were like, "Well, I have to fly out here and I have this, this, and this." And you would send her and her mom on vacation to Jamaica while you were in a boardroom.
Right. And you got to understand one thing about me is that, and this is why I tell anybody, I say, if you out of love, if you see something that is wrong, stand up and speak on it. And if it turns somebody away from you, it may turn them away from you. But sometimes we need to hear those things, because I'm focused on, you got to understand, I'm not writing at this point in time, and I love to write. So I know that I got to get it. If I'm not going to be this world famous author, I gotta be in the boardroom. I have to do these things. I have to be in these boring meetings, and I got to make sure that I'm keeping the sales up to bring this money in. And you know, but here's the other thing. It's like you said, while she's on vacation, she should have been doing her thing. She should have, like, "I put you through real estate school. You didn't do it. You gave up on it. You know, I did all of these things to set you up because I know you look, dude, these things don't last forever. Mm-hmm. You know, things happen and so forth. So yeah, the writing was on the wall. The conversation was more sneakiness than it was outright in your face. And even then, that's still language, body language, that you need to understand what's going on here. You know, because body language speak louder than language, than it, actual words. And you just got to start picking up on that as well. But the point is well, that servitude is the biggest problem. And the fact is that you got to understand that that person has got to be with you 100% and rock with you 100%.
And that's a two-way street. And you're right about that body language, because looking back on those scenarios, man, even when a person is saying things with their mouth, that body language tells you a whole nother story. And that's really the underlying truth of it.
Because she was checking out. She was checking out way before that mouth got lippy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it gets back to the communication thing and the breakdown of communication. And here's the thing, man, is that what we all have to realize is that, you know, happy spouse, happy house, everyone's happiness, it matters. It's not just a one-way street to making the wife happy. And it's not about the wife being submissive to the husband and making him king. You know, you need both king and queen to rule over the kingdom. But we have to get to a point to take care of each other for who we are, not for what we can do for each other. Because you know what, dude, I often step back and think about it. Like, what is real love? What is real, genuine, unconditional love? You see, in certain situations, it's easy to spew out that puppy dog, you know, rhetoric of I love you to the moon and back, and you my earth, you my sun, you my moon, and all of this. But are you really prepared to do what it takes to be that support system for that person if life changes forever? What if there is an accident and that person is no longer able to do things for themselves that they used to be able to do? Are you in it for the long haul, or do you check out at that point? And sometimes it's not always a physical handicap. What happens when a person breaks mentally? Are you still going to be there? Are you still going to do what it takes to make that person feel loved and welcome in this world? Where do you really stand? Because unfortunately, I made the mistake of getting into a relationship that it was driven by what you can provide and what you can do. And I was measuring my accomplishments like that. But when a storm came, the storm didn't reveal who this person was. It just opened my eyes to what I was ignoring for a long period of time. Hardship doesn't make a person change. That person has been that same person the whole time. Hardship just opens up opportunities for people to stop pretending and just be honest. Say, I'm out. Or whatever the case may be. But nagging a person, talking down to a person, degrading a person, it's not okay for a man or a woman to do it. We have to take care of each other in a relationship. We have to love each other. Loving a person is not about sex. Yeah, I said the S-E-X word. Don't go into shock. Love is not about sex. It's not about how good you can physically please someone in a bedroom. Love is about what you're doing for them. And here's another thing that gets people tripped up. It's not about what you want to do for them. That's where I think a huge disconnect is. A lot of times I hear people arguing about, I support you, I do all of this for you, but all those things you're naming off, not one of those are the things that they need from you the most. Example? If I cook and I clean and I do all of these things. However, if all I needed from you is to hug me, but you saying that, oh, I cook and I clean and I do this and this, and but you don't hug me. I'm not saying that those other things that you did aren't valuable or appreciated, but you're doing for me what you want to do. Loving a person is about doing for them what they need from you. That's how you love. It's an action towards the things that they need. That's when you become willing to really do for that person. And I use cook and clean. That's not what I'm saying. But please don't take that out of context. Please don't go all, you know, oh, don't try to domesticate. No, it's not about that. It was just an example. So let's not get bent out of shape over that. Yeah, that's, you know.
We all cook and clean.
Exactly. So I don't know why that's such a degrading term, cook and clean, because I do it too.
Well,
so
you better hope that you with someone who cooks and clean, because this is, it's a joint effort in everything that we
do. It is a joint effort. Yes, sir. And it's not, I didn't assign it to gender, so don't get all bent out of shape about that.
Yes, sir.
But I use that as an example. You know, a lot of times you have people who are keeping score of what they're doing for you, but that's not what you need from them.
That's the warning sign. That's a warning. That's that red flare gun. Somebody shot that flare gun up and you said pretty light instead of realizing that it was a SOS.
Right. Right. And that's, you know, where the breakdown in communication comes from, because, you know, I hear a lot of that from, you know, majority of the time it does come from, you know, the women in a relationship in reference of naming off what they're doing and this, that, and the other. And, you know, everyone wants to feel appreciated. Everyone wants to feel like, hey, you know, they want to be seen. They want to be acknowledged. And I get that. But that's a selfish point of view to love someone from a perspective of, I'm going to do this and this should be acknowledged and held in great regard, but I'm not really asking you, what do you need? What do you want? It's no different than you being hungry and I keep serving you squash. Hey, you hungry? I'm giving you something to eat, but you hate squash. Or even worse, you're allergic to squash. Why am I continuing to force something on you that I want you to have, that I want to do for you, rather than saying, hey, brother, what would you like to eat? Babe, what do you want? Is that servitude or is that a willingness to love someone?
It's a willingness to love.
I mean, when it becomes servitude, when
you expect this.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Is that it?
No, that's, I was throwing it up for the alley-oop. Yeah, I wanted you to finish that.
If you expect, look, man, that drove me insane. You know that. And we had many conversations. And like I said, I was like, what could I have done different in my first marriage? Hmm. And I don't go back to try to recreate those things. No, what I do is I know what I'm not going to do in my current marriage that allowed us to be together for 17 years. When the first marriage, it was over before it began. Right. See, the writing is always on the wall. And we try to, you know, that person showed me who she was. I ignored it. You know what I mean? I ignored the signs. I ignored the lack of communication. Because, see, communication with one another builds the friendship and the relationship. And there's no foundation with neither one of those, because there's really not a trust value. If you really love someone, it's never to serve a servitude point of view. Then that person will gladly serve with you, but they're not going to be your servant. And that's the problem that most women that I'm seeing out here, and men, because men are not excluded from this, because there's a lot of jackrabbits out here that do it all wrong and mess it up for a lot of cats. However, women and men, if you love someone, build up the trust value and communicate with these people and let them know, you know, the ins and outs of who you are as a person. And it comes with time. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Right. And you know what? Listen, nagging is a form of abuse.
Yeah, and it
I'm really sorry. Just, I'm just gonna say it.
It really
I'm
just
gonna put it out there.
It really sets it off for everything else. I mean, if you really think about it, it's and that's one of the signs that I didn't like you nagging for no reason.
Yeah, listen, and ladies, I may lose a couple of you. I still love you. it's my opinion, my perspective. Love it, hate it, reject it, whatever it may be. But listen to this: he's not your employee. He's not your pet project. I understand you asked him, I put quotations in the air. You asked him several times to do something that still is not done. And yeah, he may be watching the game. He may be doing some things and you're figuring, well, if he can do those things, he can do what I asked him to do. But, you know, here's the thing, ladies, is that he has it in his mind. He's going to do it. I'm not saying he's right, nor am I saying you're right. You know, procrastination is procrastination. If he's procrastinating, I'm not supporting that. However, it's not your job to continue to nag him about something. It's not your job to talk down to him and belittle him. It's not your job to fuss at him until it gets done. It's not. You do not have a green light to continue to come at him, to nag him, to just be on him because you want something done in a time frame that you want it to be done. And I know tempers are flaring when they hear that. I get it. But it's the truth. It's abuse. It's abuse. This mama bear mentality of you're able to get belligerent whenever you want to express yourself, but then if a man does it, it's considered aggression or it's considered abuse or it's considered a threat. That narrative has to change. There was a scenario that happened with Johnny Depp that was a real eye-opener for a lot of people, and it's something that you and I, Walter, have discussed several times about the double standard when it comes to aggression in relationships. You see, his ex-wife went on to let people believe that Johnny Depp was putting his hands on her. And, you know, cancel culture, once again, rush into the situation, canceled Johnny Depp. They started protesting the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. They wanted all his stuff pulled out. They wanted all his movies to be pulled off the shelves. Oh, he's guilty. How could he do this? Da, 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 da. And all of a sudden now the recording is released in mediation where they was discussing why they divorced. And she clearly admits that she was the one who was angry to the extent that she was throwing pots and pans, that she got belligerent whenever they argue. And her justification is, well, he walked away whenever she would get outrageous. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So your anger is because he wants to cool the situation by walking away before it gets escalated. Mm. But that makes you take it a step further and you throw things at him. You hit him. He's repeatedly asked you, stop hitting him. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that point where you feel like you're justified in nagging or complaining or being belligerent, now you feel like you have a right to put your hands on him. I bring that up just to say this. I've been in a situation where I was accused of domestic violence and the situation was really the other way around. But in an instant, I saw how society treats those situations where all someone has to say was he hit me. And let's be honest, man. He hit me can result in I'm trying to protect myself and push you off of me. I've seen it too many times where a man is getting hit, he's being struck, and there's people standing around watching it. Some are even recording it on their phone. Some are even laughing at it like it's funny. There's nothing funny about abuse.
Yeah, that's nothing funny about that. Because if it was the other way around, it oh my gosh, you hurting her, you doing this, you're a man. Well, she's a woman. What gives her the right to put that on him?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. And here's an even sadder scenario is that men have called the authorities when it got abusive. They don't take the woman to jail in most cases. Even there are situations where men are getting laughed at if they say, well, she's hitting me. Like, come on, dude, you're a man. What does that mean?
What does that mean? That's assault, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so
society treats it completely, totally different. Mm-hmm. Totally different.
Yes, they do.
Totally different. And that, and we're going to get into those issues in a later show, but it starts with that nagging. And the reason why I want to point that out is you don't have a right to be belligerent with your mouth or to get physical. I don't care that he's a man, and your method of thinking is, well, he can take it. He's a man. It don't hurt him. No, that's not true. You're not allowed to verbally abuse anyone, and you're not allowed to put your hands on them. See, a lot of times we get caught up in these self-righteous moments where we teach young boys, don't you ever put your hand on a girl. Don't you ever hit a girl. Don't you put your hands on a woman. You're not a man if you do so. But hey, society, do we teach our daughters, don't you put your hands on no boys either. Don't you put your hands on a man.
Good point.
Do we?
Of course not.
Because the reason why this episode is very important, because it all has a starting point. It's all linked. When you have a person that feels that they can communicate in a belligerent way and they're justified, that never self-corrects itself. It always escalates to something else. First, it's nagging around the house. Now you're being belligerent and putting him down in front of people. Where do you think it's going to go from there? Is that an extreme example? Maybe. But I think I've seen enough examples, you know, with the charity work that we do and, you know, advocating against abuse, to where I don't think it's an extreme example. I think that we have just ignored it for so long. We don't put those puzzle pieces together. A man should never be verbally or physically abusive towards a woman. Zero. But the same thing goes for a woman towards a man. And just because he's a man doesn't mean that he should be able to take it or he's okay.
Word.
Because that's hypocrisy.
To the highest level.
That's hypocrisy. Think about that. Verbally, you talk to a man, and when a man pulls back, I've seen women even say, you acting like a little bleh.
I said that earlier, dude. That's
you did.
That is the most things that you get from women. Yeah.
And you don't want to escalate it. You're trying to pull back because you don't want this to get all crazy. Or if she says something to hurt your feelings, you're like, hey, that's not cool. Well, stop acting like a buh.
But when it's a derogatory term, right?
Wait a minute. Double standard much.
I almost bit my tongue off trying not to say something.
But seriously, here, listen, women, you know that you would be outraged if you found out one of your friends, one of your nieces, your daughters, your sisters, cousins, whoever, were in a relationship with a man that was constantly trying to change her. You know you would be outraged. If they would outrage you, if it was happening to a woman, then it should never be okay. And you shouldn't condone it if it was the other way around. Just like you say, hey, man, do y'all ever see your boys messing around on a good woman and say, hey, dude, she's a good woman. Stop that. Well, I would echo that sentiment. Do you guys ever tell a woman, hey, that's a good man. Stop that.
No, if a dude see his homie out there in the streets trying to holler at another chick, that dude go and holler at his chick. See, that's another show. I'ma teach you a lesson, boy. I'ma teach you a lesson.
What was that? Was it Johnny Taylor? Who's making love to your
old lady while you out you making love?
Whoa. Yeah, while you was out cheating, who was cheating with your woman? Mm. I mean, cheaters get what cheaters get, you know.
Wow. Hey, amen. Man, but like, you know what? It's real talk though, Angel. I really appreciate you bringing this subject up, you know, to our listeners and so forth. And I think, you know, it's something that we're going to revisit this show and really talk about some other things. And like I said before, man, you know, servitude is poison in the mm-hmm. highest level, especially if you come from the I'm better than you position and other people are beneath you, you know, because look, man, in any relationship that I have been in, when a person has tried to change me, only made me worse.
Yeah.
You know, it only made me worse to the point that I resented them and they probably resented me. And I say probably because I don't care. But, you know, that's me, you know.
Well, listen, man, here's the thing, dude. I need help. I can't go into this life. I can't go at it by myself. God did not design me that way. I don't have that pride issue to humble myself to say, I do need a woman. It's the way I was designed. However, I don't need you for the reasons you may think you're needed. We're supposed to be each other's teammate. We're supposed to have each other's back. But the most important thing, we have to be to each other who we say we're going to be. No catfishing. Don't pretend like you're this person of support and love and unconditional, you know, commitment. And then you get in a relationship and then all of a sudden it's about what you want. You know, that's not cool. You know, and a man is not judged by what he can provide. If I had a job making six figures and something happened and that company got sold and I can only get a job, if I went from making $100,000 a year to making $30,000 a year, am I less than a man now?
Heck no. You still a man because you're still holding the job down. You still doing you. So, right. You know, no, that doesn't make you less of a man. You know, circumstances happen in life and It happens to all of us. But it seems that when it happens to certain people, that is amplified. And that within itself is not fair. But this life, I don't look for fairness in this world. So I adapt to, I got to be better than the average person because I know what is against me and the opposition is real. However, No, it doesn't make you less of a person. It doesn't make it, and I say person because it happens to men and women. So no, exactly. It doesn't make you less of a person. You just have to adapt and so forth, because that's when you and your spouse, y'all come to your helpmate, y'all come together and you form another plan of attack. And that's right. That's where the spouses and the couples come up and just grind and so forth, yes. Man. Because you see
it's not about you getting on the phone or going to the salon talking about he not this no more.
No, you didn't do the
I'm just saying, you know, hey, it happens. It does. I've been completely disgusted by hearing how some people talk about their significant other. And notice I didn't assign a gender to that. There is no man that could be my friend and degrades his woman in front of me. It's not going to happen. I don't give an audience to that. But in the same fashion that I hold that male friend accountable, it's the same fashion I hold a female friend or colleague or whoever accountable. I don't give an audience to people who think it's okay to degrade their spouses or significant others in front of other people. It's not okay.
No, it's not okay. And if I ever find out that went down, that's immediately situation that we have to, you know, we're going to reevaluate this relationship.
Well, part two, we're going to wrap this up. But part two is we're going to discuss that in more detail. Part two is about the representation. You know, sometimes people go to work and they give this presentation that their spouse is lazy or that they're lacking, or they just give all these negative, you know, labels of who their spouse, and they're going by their feelings.
Are they holding it down? They're the only one holding it down and their spouse is not doing that. Well, right. If we're going to go off into that part too, we also need to go off into the entrepreneurship. And it's one thing that you said something about $100,000 a year to $30,000 a year. What if that guy said, hey, I don't want to be $100,000 a year. I want to be eventually self-employed and making more than that. But you know that there's going to be a change in my income because I have to build from ground zero.
Right.
How many spouses are willing to see that pop off?
Or, you know, what if I leave a job where I get a guaranteed paycheck and I want to go work for a job that pays me commission?
Right. I've done that too.
And the, you know, the commission structure is very generous, but the problem is it's not guaranteed and I have to work and build that pipeline up before it's beneficial. So we're definitely going to get into, you know, the communication factor and labels, the presentation of your significant other. And that's both ways. There's not an agenda assigned to it. And let's get something straight here. I spoke on a lot of perspectives of experiences with women. I made some comments about women and the nagging aspect, But let's not get anything misconstrued or twisted. Miss Talks Podcast is a platform for real talk, real discussions, real people. And it's just keeping it real. Now, it's not about calling women out, and it's not about calling men out. It's not about leaning to the left more than to the right. It's about real equality. We want to discuss the things that people, other media and outlets kind of use as a shock value to get your attention and to benefit from financially, but they don't do anything to dispute the rhetoric. We want to have real conversations and find out real methods of how we can bring people back together, whether man, woman, black, white, you know, parents, children, the whole encompassance of a community. We're not here to shame women. We're not here to uplift men and put them above women. And we're not here to put women above men. But sometimes we have to dive into conversations that applies to one more so than the other. And I say that to say this, as we continue this series, we want and welcome any female listeners and family members who want to engage, who want to be on the panel. We want a roundtable discussion, and we want to have a full understanding of not just identifying some of the growth areas, but the key word is growth area, because we have to get to a point where we can grow. So with that, I pass that to you, Mr. Poet, Mr. Walter.
No doubt, Angel, eloquently spoken on the mic, sir. And I do appreciate you bringing this subject up, man, because like you said, it's real talk, real people, sincere conversations. This is what Miss Talk Podcast is about. May I speak sincerely, people? And yes, you may. This is the platform for you. Thank you very much, Angel, for bringing that to us. And hey, this is Miss Talks, man. Y'all can get at us on Facebook, like us on Instagram as well. Or excuse me, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. And also check us out. You know, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Cast. We're all over the place. You heard me say this before, and we see the results, and we appreciate you for streaming us, downloading us, and sharing us with your friends, family, and coworkers. We thank you. Yes. We try. We have good shows coming up, and we just try. You know, we don't have all the answers, but we have questions that we can communicate with one another to get to the next level. And we thank you for all of the support that you have given Angel and I. We love you, and we are grateful for you tuning in to us. And with that said, people, you know what time it is. This is Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your host, Angel and Walter LeRae. I am the poet Walter LeRae, and he is my co-host,
Angel.
And with that said, Angel, we're going to spread these two fingers apart. We're going to shake the juice at them. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Angel and Walter LeRae. If you would like to be a part of our show, or if you have any suggestions and topics that you would like us to speak on, please feel free to reach us at MissTalksPodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Instagram. Just search Miss Talks Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Let the journey begin.